Welcome to another episode of Wakan TV, where we are continuing our conversation about Sasquan. It was going to be one episode, but then we had so much to say that we had to break it up into two, and this is the continuation. Enjoy.
We were talking about your own records and then kind of like this merging of like the two worlds. And, you know, one thing that kind of occurred to me, and, you know, what people might not know as to why maybe some of the records are not as easily found. So essentially, at the like even before I started working with Martin, you were releasing these sort of records on this label called Inner Chill,
which I also have a huge. Please go check out Inner Chill. Amazing yeah. music.
And the guy that owns it is a guy named Andrew. He's awesome.
Andrew Ross Collins has helped me. He's one of the people who actually did a lot for Liquid Stranger.
Yeah. So when we were putting basically. You had some heavier stuff coming in on all these different labels, and then you had all your kind of electronica, softer stuff coming out on Inner Chill. And as that kind of progressed, it was a lot harder to basically get that music on the forefront.
Yes, and also maybe it goes back to what I alluded to a little bit earlier. I was basically two different artists.
Yep.
I did hard dubstep on with Excision, you know, early, and started playing those shows simultaneously. I had a totally different fan base who went and saw me for this thing. And those two worlds did not match yep. up. And I actually got a lot of hate when I started doing the dubstep. Oh, your music is all of a sudden really flat and not interesting. And you know what I'm saying? And vice versa. Oh, this doesn't even have a drop. You know, when yeah. they found my... So
it's an 8-minute song.
Yeah. I don't think that stigma... I don't know. I think with all the work that's been done, just not by us, but also by us and other artists, I think people are not as... rigid when it comes to genres anymore, and a person only needing to do one thing.
Yeah.
It's like Arnold being an action star, but he can also go do a comedy. Or I mean, it's like that should be okay. Where people, so I don't see that problem anymore, but you also helped with that. Just like, how can we take these two disparate of different worlds and try to bring them into some harmonic?
Yeah.
You know,
well, I mean, it's
synergy when they actually work together. Yeah.
It's hard enough being an artist. And then you made it arguably harder on yourself by making two polar opposite sort of genres. Mm-hmm. I know we don't like that word, but that's essentially what has happened. And so, you know, the idea was to kind of like have a merging of these two worlds collectively try to come together. And yeah, there's always going to be the purists that don't like certain elements of, you know, stuff. But as we've progressed, we found that, you know, even a lot of the artists that are releasing on Sasquan, and we'll get to some other things about that here in a bit, but a lot of them don't want to be put in a box either.
Yeah.
They want to have the opportunities of being able to write and create something that maybe is a little bit different than what their, you know, status quo, what they're known for or predominantly known for. And so I think that that's really cool that we've kind of been able to kind of help give that some shine. And, you know, getting back to like Inner Chill, like, you know, that's also part of the reason why it's been kind of a struggle is because like anytime, like, you know, just for all you aspiring folks out there, like anytime you have something that's already uploaded, there's this whole like all this metadata in the back end for all these DSPs like iTunes and Apple Music and Spotify that once something is registered and then something else gets registered, what they do is they essentially fight and butt heads. And then you have to go and clear all that out. And then if person A hasn't necessarily communicated with their distributor that this is getting re-uploaded in this form and the data doesn't necessarily sync up perfectly or the master's different, but yet you're using the same title, it gets flagged and automatically pulled down. And that's what we've actually been, you know, even with our best efforts, like kind of like been going through, and it's because we're exchanging all these records that we put out at Interchill and then are moving them over to the back catalog of Liquid Stranger Music and Sasquan. But I do think it might be enlightening for a lot of people to, if we were to create some sort of best of type Liquid Stranger thing, that, you know, could kind of like showcase a lot of this music. And, you know, I also think too, it's like, let's be real. You've grown quite a bit as an artist. So when you get into a certain threshold as of being an artist, it allows you to then have opportunities that, you know, in 2007, you know, years ago, you couldn't play a show as much or as easy. And now, you know, we have a festival that we've allocated a whole day to this genre on a main stage. And, you know, at the festival, you're going to be playing a down tempo. We call it your trip set, if you will. And the whole reason it's not an audio visual experience or down tempo is because it's a journey of progression through all these different forms and genres of music, which is what Liquid Stranger was originally created as, is not being put into a box of one certain thing. And that's actually the reason why I like a lot of your experimental stuff, is because it's not this like one trick pony. Like, I remember the first time I ever saw you play what we as identified as a trip set, and it was in Denver, and we did I think it was two nights at the Ogden.
Yep.
And that was like, I remember I was sitting next, or I was at the front of the house, and I was next to JD, and JD had, I mean, he'd eaten a lot of acid, essentially. I don't think he'll get mad at me. JD, I'm sorry. I'm sorry if you're mad at me for saying that. But JD is like, he works for Antic, who we do a lot of production stuff with, and they're all great guys. And JD is like a gem of a human.
Love him.
And he is literally, I look over, and keep in mind, JD is this big bearded guy. He's 6'3".
Strongest guy I've ever met.
Strong as fuck. Gnarly, pretty gnarly dude. And I look over and he is just sobbing and just so emotional. And I was like, man, I was like, this guy is being evoked with all this emotion, and like, and it was a pretty emotional night, but that's like,
a beautiful thing.
That sort of experience is like, the power, I think, of that music. That's the cool thing about like this genre, is that like, I'm sure there are people that cry during bass heavy shows, and that's probably pretty eventful and for them, but like, he was like, and granted, you know, probably the acid helped, but I mean, like, it tapped into a different thing for him. And it, you know, I think that there's definitely something to that. And I think that that's when we really started like focusing on, not that we've done a lot of these, but like having in certain situations, a time and a place to play this and curate this whole event from top to bottom. And, you know, that's part of like when we started the festival, we allocated a whole day to that. And, you know, we have Closey playing and all these like super great other artists that, you know, are going to kind of, you know, be able to push that forward. And I think that that's definitely a step in the right direction. And, you know, that's, I think, a big reason why, for me, you know, being the guy kind of in charge of the plan of like what we do when we tour, like it's a hard genre to tour, and it's a hard thing to do because a lot of these settings have to be correct to then make it an experience. And that's why I think you see people like doing stuff at the Caverns and Meow Wolf and Other Worlds and some of these places where it feels special and it feels different and it's automatically aligned a little bit different to kind of get that thing out of it. And, you know, I think it's safe to say in 2023, we'll be doing more events in that lane. How many, we don't know, but
yeah, it's worth saying too that it's, you know, taking a little more. If I go play my heavy bass shows, I mean, that we've made very successful, and it's maybe it's not the right way to say that it's like taking a step back, but a little bit in terms of the money we can make, the tickets we can sell, you know, the risk assessment. It is a riskier, newer endeavor with less infrastructure put in place. So that just makes me even more determined. I want to do way more of those. And I think it's just about setting it up smart so we build responsibly.
Yeah. And you know, I think a lot of times too, like, people need to understand that, like, even though it's Liquid Stranger, it's still wired a little bit different, and we still have to be conscientious of the fact that, like, it doesn't just mean we're going to be able to go into this huge room. Like, I think we have to, like, kind of almost assume that it's a different thing, and therefore we have to start from the ground up and kind of build that.
But that's also what we did with Wakanda, and it's important to remember. The first Wakanda tour was super unglamorous.
Yeah.
And we played very small rooms, and we all stayed in the same hotel room, and we rode around in a little Sprinter. And
yeah,
you got to be willing, I think, unless you have manufactured contacts and success and money and major labels, which we don't. We're independent, like fully independent. So
yeah,
for people like us, it's very important that you have the willingness to go and do the grind. That's also a beautiful thing, and it's, you could also look at it as like, yeah, those are the pioneers and the first seekers coming in and building this culture together in a smaller, more intimate setting. And I don't think that's a loss. I think that's honestly a huge win. And the more things we can be involved in, where we help, you know, foster a better culture for all this music that we're so passionate about, the better.
Yeah. And I also think that, like, that's also, it's not everybody can do that. And I remember when we were starting, like, the things that we are doing now, we couldn't have done without building and growing into.
Yeah.
And I don't think touring on and playing larger scaled shows, at least for us, maybe, you know, Tipper and other people have it down packed and that works for them and fucking great. But for us in this scenario, like, that's a progression that we're going to have to dive into and grow into. And, you know, I think that that's a challenge that I'm excited about taking into, you know, next year and the further years. Because that's something, you know, we've wanted to get to a place where we can kind of do more and be a good steward of, like, what we've created.
Yep.
And I think that that's the next evolution of that. And with that said, too, I also want to talk about this. So, when we first started with Wakan, we created compilations. ironically, in the past, like, day that we've recorded this episode, there's been an announcement of another compilation, and that's awesome. Fully support that. But we have been working on a compilation for the better half of 9.5 months.
Oh, yeah.
For all you artists out there, sorry it's taken so long, but it is a beast of a project.
Oh, compilations are one of those things that when you start doing them, you realize how much work it is. Because now you're working with like 14 artists and their teams and trying to get everyone happy and bring something together. But it is something really neat in there, because it also taps in a little bit to what you said earlier about now trying to do more shows. Well, we need to build lineups, and we want to have a rich plethora of artists that we can work with. So the compilation is a really great way to bring in more people into our culture. I'm extremely excited about this new compilation for Sasquan that we've been working on under the radar. I'd say it's been a year, but I'm exaggerating.
We've been talking about it for a really long time. I think we have actually started, Chloe and I have been working on it. And, you know, all credit to Chloe, because it's mostly been her doing the legwork and me just being like, yeah, no, whatever. And you know, it's been kind of like her little baby that she's kind of like groomed, but, you know, kudos to her, because she's killing it. And, You know, it's funny. We have almost everything done on the compilation, except a couple things, but one main thing. And that is, we don't have a title.
Let's come up with something. I mean, we had some names that we were talking about, and there might as well be a segment on this podcast, because, yeah, we need to come up with a lot of names all the time.
Yeah.
Track titles, tour names. It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's almost like being creative in a way that we're not. You know what I'm saying? That's more of an author thing.
Yeah. So, well, and how about we get into this? Like, let's just talk through the process. So, for everybody that's listening, and maybe other artists are different, but at least in this scenario with you, essentially how it works is Martin has a list of, I would almost say like trigger words, mm-hmm. like words that you are, I don't know, you're randomly cooking something, or you're at the grocery store, or you're driving, or you're on the plane, and you like something just comes to you.
And I literally write lists in my phone, brainstorming list.
So it's got, he'll write it down as a part of this list, and essentially that list, then as we kind of evolve this idea, and usually how it functions is that he comes up with the idea of what seemingly feels the most important. And then I kind of filter it as, well, this is how all the optics would work, the time frame, the scheduling, and all that stuff. If we tour it, if we don't tour it, whatever. And then we kind of essentially just go back and forth for a while. I mean, and you know, every process of a name, a title, a tour is different, but the last few versions, Dimensions, which I'm sure we'll talk about at some point on this podcast, this is Squan Comp, Balance, are all names on a list and titles on a list and trigger words that we've, that he's essentially been coming with for years on end.
And now it's starting to change. You came up with Balance, actually, so where it's starting to be, but for this compilation, you know, and how we started thinking about names, and yes, we do overanalyze things. We're very good at it, both you and me.
We overanalyze everything.
I rather overthink things than underthink things, and names hold power, words and symbols hold power, so we try to make a little bit of a deal about it.
Yeah,
this time I was thinking about, you know, this is a huge group of artists. I think we have at least 20. Is it 22?
Yeah, it's 20 plus artists on this compilation.
So it's about what are we doing, and we came up with the trigger word connectivity.
Yeah.
And how can you say that in a more poetic way? And then we started doing Derby. I think the word that I've landed on now is synergy, which feels like a positive harmony between different parts and interplay.
And they're very similar words in their functionality.
So we don't know. Maybe it will be called connectivity. Maybe we'll go back to that because we go back and forth. But
synergy is a cool word.
Synergy is a cool word. And I think it sits a little better in the mouth. It's not as long.
You should call it synergy.
Yeah, let's just do that.
Synergy. Synergy it is. Synergy.
And that's how it's decided. But yeah, names hold power, and it's something that we spend quite a lot of time on. And
well, and I also think it plays back into the legacy piece of like when you go back and you look at like the whole body, bird's eye view. Yes, there are these like snippets of timestamps, right? But you know, it collectively makes a larger picture. And I think that, you know, I don't want to underthink that and undervalue that. But like with that process, like, you know, even with like other clients too, it's like that started, you know, there's clients that are like, these are the songs, these are the titles, this is the name of the record, this is what the art looks like. And that's it. It's not a conversation.
Who are those artists? Because we are not really like that.
Most of the artists that I like, Veil submitted a record.
Yeah.
And
she already has everything figured
everything,
out.
Everything.
As with me, we figured out
top to bottom what the visuals look like, what the photos look like, what the name of the songs are, what the color palette is. And that makes it very easy on me.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, great. As long as the songs are good. And that's, but then there's like a process, like Lucid, you know, like we had essentially like six names for his tour with like six different ideas for art and, you know, six different, titles or working titles, if you will. And you know, and then Champagne Drip, like, you know, he's, I'm like, hey, you know, we've planned this tour, you know, and we started even planning this with his agent a year ago. And now he's currently about to, you know, we just rolled that out and it's called the Time Warp Tour, but that was a working title for, you know, a while. And then, you know, it sometimes takes time to evolve into, what the art going to look like, what the titles of the songs are. And you know, luckily for us, it's like every artist works different, but sometimes it's really cool to be a part of that journey and that process, and then sometimes it's better when it's just like, here it is. And you know, I think, you know, in our situation specifically with this, it's like our stuff's a lot more intertwined due to the nature of me being more involved with the labels, so therefore it makes it so that, you know, it's more of a conversation of like, what do you think kind of thing. But you know, we just decided on Synergy, so that's what it is.
Yeah, that's very good. And we talk about the compilation, it's a very big compilation, over 20 artists. How many are there exactly? It's 22, right? Or did we add a 23rd?
Well,
or is this too early to talk about?
21 and 23. No, I mean, frankly, because I'm...
But there's a back end with contracts and stuff, too. Yeah. So, I mean, before a certain time, we can't even say that these songs are for sure to be released. But yeah. I think we're there.
It's roughly around 22 artists.
And it's one of the first records where I've stepped back way more and let you guys do most of the selection for the record. And it actually is also did not exactly turn out how it would have if I would have done it. I think I would have gone in way more on a cohesive vibe throughout, and I'm happy I didn't, I have to say, because like I also made this DJ mix of mixing together all the songs, because when you have this like large amount of songs, it makes sense, you know, it becomes like an hour long solid recording people can listen to.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, after doing that and figuring out which songs that fit, and it's more challenging DJing those genres because there's more melody, so now you got to be in the same keys, and wide disparity in tempo, so you got to kind of, it's a little puzzle in itself.
Yeah.
But after doing that, I felt that came out really nicely and had this like good diversity even within, like, I always spoke about, yes, you know, prime time heavy music versus ambient. But even though within the downtempo compilation, there is still energy differences, contrast at play, where it goes into maybe a few more intense sections, so-called drops, a little more chill drops. And then certain songs are way more floaty.
I also think too, though, with that, you know, like because of that, like, you know, this is... I think this is the first time you've ever not necessarily procured and facilitated a compilation. And with that, you know, like, it's kind of like you're almost seeing a reflection of like how people identify certain songs. And, you know, for us, it's like, you know, we wanted to try to create, and when I say we, like, obviously, at the end of the day, you know, you have final approval because it's your label. But at, after we've kind of like gone and done the legwork of like finding songs and finding artists that want to be a part of this compilation or whatever, you know, that's only the first aspect of it. Then actually them turning the motherfucker in is, and that chase of getting them to even do such
for sure
is also that. But I also think this is a kind of like a reflection of like, in my opinion, kind of all these different forms of music that we kind of touch on to kind of create this like spectrum of music, because it is it's a wide variety, yes, of different songs,
and more so than I think it would have been if I did this myself, because I already have this preconceived idea of the music I grew up with and felt so close to heart. Whereas I think, and what I'm trying to say is, I think the result got better for handing it over more to you. Because yes, ownership is one thing and who starts something, but this compilation is ultimately not just for me. And I think it's very dangerous to put yourself on that pedestal that just because you have power, you should always take it and try to make stuff smaller. I found within this organization, and you're also a leader, like we're bosses, but we delegate a lot, and I found it's way better to give people responsibility. Hey, you're a boss of this now, and I'm not going to micromanage you. Then people tend to take bigger ownership, and that's what I think I see the full journey here, where I can be like, wow, I'm glad I made this decision as the leader to just share the leadership and the power, because the results that came back are surprising to myself, better than I could have done it myself, and more empowering. Also, you know, Chloe picked out a lot of these songs, and you know, she comes from a totally different background than us.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is cool. She resonated with those songs for a reason, maybe different than mine, and it's important to listen to that, especially when you put together a big body of work like that.
Yeah, and what I also think too is like this kind of like batch, if you will, of songs feel probably a lot more modern than maybe what you would have selected.
Yeah, probably.
And that I think is probably like the biggest distinguishing point in that, because like what you identify as this certain genre of label is not necessarily maybe what I do, and what I decipher it as is maybe not what Chloe does.
I think it's like it's a fine balance between like the music that I personally tend to like is very obscure and almost like this like drumless ambient soundscape, ambient drones, and that's a very little selective part. If you want to run something that's also successful as a business and can help other people live off of their art, and like you said, go out and do tours, you need to have a little more diverse scope. So I think that panned out very good.
Yeah, well, and I think that the reason why I kind of have that viewpoint of that is because I can say the reason why your biggest song on Spotify is that song is because of it was in the right playlist at the right time and then continued to digest.
Yeah.
And that snowballed into it being a song that has, you know, 19 million plus streams, and it doesn't have really all that much to do with anything that we did. It's more algorithmic. And certain songs that sound a certain way that come out on a certain time kind of have tendency to do a certain thing online. And I think that that's a really cool thing. That's a double-edged sword. Sometimes it's not cool, you know, because some songs should be bigger than what they are. But, you know, I definitely think that there's, I don't know, it's different perspective for different people. And I think it's interesting to see even amongst the people that kind of do the work and formulate the decision-making process here, how much differentiality there is in amongst just that sector. All right, so we're talking about the compilation. We've landed on the name Synergy. We've talked about the process of finding titles and things like that. Let's talk about your song on the compilation.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the better songs you've written.
Really? Well, that song is called Sunspot, and I wrote it a lot of years ago, or I wrote a little part to it, and that's sometimes how inspiration flows, and then nothing happens, and I put it on the shelf, and just brought it up by chance, or you started the project again, and opened it, and continued on it. That song's probably been, you know, I haven't been working constantly on it for 5 years, but I think I probably started it 5 years ago.
So you...
And it's been dormant. And then I open it for some reason just to check something, and that happens to me very often. I write a lot of music. You know, I write something almost every day. And then... and I shouldn't even say that because it's probably not always true. I'm not at home every day, and, you know... But when I'm here at home in my home studio, I usually go up and write a little thing. When inspiration hits, it can be like a little melody or a little something. And that's how that song started. And I just like pushed it aside, forgot about it, opened it up again. And here we are.
Where do you remember where you were specifically when you wrote it?
I was in Arizona. That's where I was living there.
And you just, same situation, wrote a little, you know,
well,
handful of bars, a little melody.
Well, that song in particular has a very strange and sort of... quote unquote advanced chord progression that's not very logical. So that's the little piece that I wrote first. And I make that mistake sometimes when I write something and I think, oh wow, and it's a little puzzle to make it loop back together and make it into a musically pleasant thing. And then I look at it and you've helped me with this too. And I was like, okay, who are you going to be able to sing on this or do anything? It's way too weird. That's one of those songs that are almost like unweirded. You know, it's this like complex thing that I just like try to get into something more coherent.
Yeah.
It's a weird process sometimes.
I don't know
how interesting that is even to listen, to hear me talk about, but.
I think sometimes simple stuff is equally as meaningful.
No, I mean, that's what I've started realizing more and more as a producer. I think I've previously been more, you know, adding layers. It's something I've actually learned, and it's a good tip. Like, if you have a part in your song or a sound that's not great, adding more stuff to it doesn't always help.
I feel like it's...
And something that's complex isn't always better. In fact, I have a huge respect for pop music. I have like three chords, but it's the right chords with the right sound happening in the right succession. And that's the type of songwriting I've tried to do more. So I think that song is actually a perfect example of something that started overly complex, almost for the sake of, oh, wow, I want to make something new harmonically, which is also very difficult in today's day and age. Most harmonies have already been used over and over again.
It's that damn IDM.
You know, I mean, it's all these cultures borrowing, and I think that's a great thing, and I think we shouldn't look down. I think we should, you know, just embrace more mutations and mixes of genres. That's where we find new ground today. We've found the chords. We have 12 notes on the piano keyboard. We have 6 strings on the guitar. How do we combine these things? And so there are other ways to do that than just working with melody. You can also combine melody and rhythm or different, you know, cultural instruments, like mixing in a tabla and a hip-hop. You know what I'm saying? And that is a new cool thing in itself.
So specifically to Sunspot, the song on this compilation, you wrote this little thing first. And then left it on your hard drive for years on end.
Yep.
You randomly, let's just assume you get super high and you're digging through stuff and you're like, this kind of sounds cool. Is that the process?
Absolutely. And also different mind space you are when pretty, I mean, today at this very moment, I have thousands of drafts on basically all my computers, you know, the computers I travel with. And that's the process. Every time I put together a release is kind of trying to decide, okay, so I have so much material. What is the best? And that's where I usually use you as, you know, I use my friends. It's impossible for me to have that self-distance. But sometimes, you know, yeah, I take a night and I go through 50 different projects, like, oh nah, oh my god, what was I thinking? This is horrible. And then eventually it comes to one and say, oh my god, this is actually really good. I don't remember writing this.
It's like a filtration.
Yeah, for sure. And a very important part in making music, I think, is, at least for myself, now, for example, I'm working on my next EP, you know, a shorter little EP with four heavier dance songs, and I've written maybe 50, 60 of those in the past 2 months, and then filtering it down to four. You know, which ones are those for? You helped me a lot with that. Yeah. You know, we said,
I remember I was flying to Italy.
Yep.
And you sent me a Dropbox link of, I think it was
probably another vacation.
Like,
yet another vacation.
Yet another vacation.
Yeah. And
so I think it was like 20, probably 18 to 20 songs or ideas.
Yeah.
Like built out, like bulk.
Yeah. That's more than
anywhere
that.
From a minute and a half to 3.5, 4 minutes.
And then I use my friends, and as much as I can, because I'm also a pretty shy, introverted person that don't like to bother other people. You is different because we work together, but
yeah.
I don't send my music out as much as maybe I should. I think maybe that's a weakness, but it's also out of respect. Like I send my friends the music when it's all done. Well, I really should do more often. Like with Neil Lucid, I do that because he lives here and he's over. So I bounce off the wall with him, with you. Chris Sully was just here, so, you know, Sammy Elstream has helped me a lot, you know, Sam Champagne Drip, you know, my close core people here, you know.
Yeah.
That's okay. No, that's really good. No, dude, it is. And then you got to trust your friends a little bit there too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a process I do all the time. And so I have this first process where I call just the being a funnel from the universe and trying to just put out as many ideas as possible.
Brain dump.
A brain dump and trying to write like, ideally more than one a day, like maybe 2 to 3 is like, here's concepts or a theme or a sample or a voice I record or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But then comes this thing that we spoke about, and I think it's very hard maybe even for you to understand. That's where you sometimes get impatient with me. It's like, well, you have all this stuff, why aren't we putting it out?
Yeah,
because after that brain dump comes gestation. It's like a period of reflection where you can listen through this material enough times. Eventually we'll get to the fans, and at that point it better be good because you can take it back. And if I get irritated at something after like 2 listens, like, oh my god, that I, you know, remove that, fix that. That process that I call gestation period is also important. And I don't know if I fully understood it myself. It can take everything from just a few days to grasp a song to this Sunspot one that took years for it to sort of like, oh, that's obvious what I'm going to do with this.
We're talking about Soli a little bit. You touched on that. I mean, that song that we put out.
Deeper. Yeah.
I think it was like a four-year.
4 year period, yeah. He's told me all about it.
A four-year work of
And actually for the listeners, love. He put out this short but very great video where his girlfriend interviewed him, and I thought it was really neat. It was very authentic how he spoke about that exact process. He's talking about the exact same thing, how it's like, it's almost like being stuck if you choose to be stuck. I think like if I would have continued to try to work on Sunspot, I would have called it writer's block, but I don't have writer's block because if I don't have anything, I push it aside, I start on something new or I do something else. But that period is very important, at least for myself, and eventually it will click together.
Now, do you think that sometimes, like, when you're going through that process of writing and you have this snippet, do you think that that is a bit maybe through how you're interpreting it or what lens you're seeing it through? Does that have anything to do with maybe where you're at in that present moment or maybe things that you've been listening to like around that like time for you to decipher if you feel like that's quality Absolutely. Enough or if you're like you just inherently know?
That's a good, skill in itself.
Good question. Good thing, bad thing.
Good question. I don't think I'm the best at that. I think you're pretty good at that. You've given me very good reflection in terms of just like wading through. I'm very prolific. I work very fast. But maybe in that I'm a little sloppy and I don't have a good self-distance in terms of what's actually good or not. So that is hard to know. And sometimes that's what I'm saying. That gestation period sometimes shows that to me. You've brought up several times, like the Unity EP has almost not come out at all. I've been wanting to scrap it. It's like, no, Martin, those songs are super dope. You need to finish them. That's why I finished them. So, you know what I'm saying? Like either it's me that realizes that or someone else.
So, yeah.
You know, it's humbling, actually, because it's... I think I could probably put out a lot more of my music than I actually do. I might put out 10% of everything I write, you know? Like, I'm pretty shy with my material, yeah, and I need a little bit of boost sometimes.
Like, I can't imagine you being like, here you go, here's a terabyte of music, please.
No, that's not, you know, I feel like it's actually a huge honor and responsibility to make sure that my fans get, like, the best of the best. I work every day. It's like making music and learning how to produce is like a bottomless well. And just, you know, humbling all the time. I just had Chris staying with me for a week or a few days here. And, you know, he's like not half my age, but he's way younger. But he took 9 years professional audio engineering school. I did not. I'm self-taught. Mm-hmm. So I'm decent at coming up with melodies and themes. I'm good at ideas and vocal samples and write. I write a lot of lyrics and, you know, but, you know, I learned so much from just those days. It's so humbling to see someone who's like how much stuff he has on his mastering bus. And I don't even know what half those things are.
Yeah.
It's extra plugs to make things sound bigger and very, you know. So, and I think the whole music process is like that. It's a little confusing sometimes. Where does inspiration come? Where does ideas come from? Are they my ideas? Is an idea, is that a life form? How come? It seems to me like making good music is partially about making yourself available. You know, I'm a vessel, and you make yourself available. You go up to your workstation. I don't know if you recognize this in your work too. And all of a sudden, and it just clicks on, and you know what to do.
Well, I think for me, in my work, I like I was saying earlier, I think what has allowed me to kind of just, because I don't look at something, and very seldom, and this is probably going to sound arrogant, but very seldom do I feel like I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I know. It's a yes or it's a no. It could be a maybe, but the maybe is usually me having doubt or assurances, not necessarily about if we should or should not, but more about what are the reasons surrounding this that don't have to do with us, that we don't control, to say, is that the best optimal situation? But like most things in my workflow, I've already mapped out like what we're going to be doing in the next year. So I know if it kind of fits into that formula, but I don't think I would be able to do that without taking the time and the responsibility to know where we're trying to go in the next year or two or three, to be able to say if this fits into our lane of navigation of being able to get us closer to what we're trying to achieve or it taking us further away.
Well, you're inherently good at that. I would say that inherently you're a very stable, decisive person. That's one of the big things that makes me truly enjoy working with you. And I'm not. I'm an undecisive person, a little more chaotic person. Yes, I've trained a lot of martial arts and done a lot of things that make me seem very well put together, but I'm not. I'm very chaotic. And therefore, having someone like you in my life who can give me a lot of this feedback is very, very helpful.
It's interesting because, like, how I know you, I mean, you are arguably probably one of the most frustrated people I think I've ever met.
Sure.
And it's interesting because, like, I don't think, and that's a big part of reason why I think we're doing this, is to kind of, like, be able to showcase the things that we go through get to the end result are very much the same things that everybody goes through in their normal day-to-day life.
Yeah, and something that it probably seems glamorous or that we're some like highly self-actualized people, but part of it is, you know, like, no, I'm not. I'm a very troubled person, but I also have a lot of disciplines and determination and willpower that can make me chill out and make proper decisions regardless.
And I think also to your credit, you know, I think one of the, you know, when we are similar in this is that like we're both very comfortable in the fact that we're okay with not knowing if we don't know.
Yeah.
And look, they're like from a managerial perspective, I don't feel like there's a ton of things, like I said, that seemingly I kind of waver on. It's more of like extracurricular things.
And that's not really, you're not a waiver, but I am.
Yeah, outside of my wheelhouse. Let's just
be honest about that. That's not your problem, but it is my problem.
It's very easy. I remember, you know, just sitting here on this couch and you're like, I don't really know if I like this record. And we'll get into that here in a second because I think that's important to talk about. But and you're like, I mean, I think we've talked about releasing this record a handful of times. And I'm like, it's absurd. These are good songs.
But that,
you have to do it.
That helps me. And you even, understand? And like, you're that's, like, an, that's like sometimes you need like, friends.
I don't even want to do that.
Sometimes shit you need friends. Yeah, you need friends and you need people who boost you up. And I think that's actually one clear-cut example of that in my life. Yeah. Where I just like felt insecure about the songs. And you helped me there. And yeah, I can be very, you know, if it was up to me, I don't really have a need to be on stage in front of all these people. I don't think my life is all that special. I realize that other people think so, and I'd love to share what I can and be of service, but I don't go around thinking, oh, I'm Liquid Stranger. It's like, I don't, that doesn't even occur to me, you know?
Yeah.
I look at myself very differently.
Yeah.
Even doing this podcast is a big challenge. It's a stretch for both of us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I think it's not so much about us being in our comfort zone. I'm very comfortable sitting and talking to you. It's one of my favorite people.
Yeah.
And that's very easy. But I think it's more of a service. This is actually needed. There is a hole here.
Yeah.
And the community needs a long-form, honest way of communicating where it's not these like short little sound bites or Instagram posts and everyone looking with perfect teeth and stuff. It's live. It's real life.
Yeah, yeah.
So the songwriting process can be very, I mean, you come here some days and I'm just super down on myself and don't know if I even want to keep on doing it, you know?
Yeah,
it can
just, be very just so self-appreciating. Everybody knows you have tried to retire what? We're in, you've probably tried to retire maybe 35 times. 40.
I mean, I think about it quite often, and then I have to remember the words from my mentors, and also you. You've helped me a great deal there. It should be said, you are one of the reasons that I'm still doing this. So.
Yeah. Well,
so thank you for that. But also, I got to remember what my mentors have said, and one thing that my mentor Janneke, another medicine woman, said to me once was, I was thinking about quitting the path. You know, like, what am I even doing? Am I making any progress? Is this really my path with heart? You know, I'm Swedish. This is all mostly Native American. Like, how do I fit in here? And she said, well, have you found anything better? I was like, no. Well, then maybe until you do. So that's where I go. I hear her voice and it's like, well, do you know anything you like doing more than making music?
Yeah.
And making these people happy. And I mean, let's not forget, I'm responsible for a large amount of people today that are sort of, you know, under our umbrella. I take that very seriously. But personally, I go through the floor once a week, you know, sometimes.
Just but, like, you know,
what
funny,
am I doing with my life?
You funny know? About that, too, is that that's actually probably the thing that makes it the most enjoyable. So the responsibility is also the crutch.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, but absolutely. That makes but me when have way more purpose.
You can get to that and this fulfillment of like, well, all right, quit. What would you do? What? I mean, not that you couldn't. You know, you can fucking sack groceries at Sprouts, you know, like, but
I'd be great
but,
at it.
But yeah, I have zero doubts that you wouldn't be like.
And
but,
also, I don't have any. I think when I go to shop at Sprouts, I'm very grateful that another person take care to pack my groceries good, because I'm actually really bad at it. And I will pack the eggs on the bottom and do all kinds of stuff. And I think that should be said about all work. Like, I'm very grateful that there are limo/Uber drivers that take me all these places. A job is how you serve humanity in the best way possible. It's not what you get out of it the most. And right. I think I need to remember that as well.
Yeah.
This is hard. This job can be hard on me. I don't like attention. I don't need to be the biggest artist. I never set out to do that. I just like making music and I like helping people.
Well, I also think it's gratifying too to be able to see that in a very raw form of playing said thing you wrote this little soundbite to, evolving that, and then being able to instantly see that bring joy and excitement to people based on what they're going through. And that seemingly would be really cool. But at the same time, there's all these fucking assholes that are seemingly unhappy with their own shit and that want to forecast that into other people. And, you know, I think that that's part of why this is important to do, because this allows us to, A, be real, and B, be able to vent and to talk things through, and also kind of help, you know, hopefully other people understand how they can kind of expedite some of the bullshit that we didn't figure out.
What do you mean by the assholes? Like, I mean online that people...
Yeah, like, just like, well, trolls and this and that. But like, I don't think oftentimes, like, and we saw a lot of it during the pandemic, but like a lot of people, like, it's probably all the ugly shit that people would spew and fester doesn't have anything to do. You just have to be the person that maybe it's taken out on, because they don't want to fucking analyze their own shit.
No, and of course, but you need to see that if you want to be in any position of leadership or in any position of, you know, being a person that have eyes on them. So in my, I know that's a reflection of them. So I don't care. Why would I care about some uninformed person who I've never met? Like, I never think about you. Yeah. Why would I care what you think about me? Yeah. Like, there I'm pretty cold, honestly.
Yeah.
And it's important to get thick skin there and to have some distinction. But also, it's life choices. I don't go on Twitter, like, very rarely. If I do, I might read, I might heart something if it's extra nice, but I will not engage in dumb shit on there.
Yeah.
Screw that. I have better shit to do.
Yeah. Well,
and there's no happiness at the end of that tunnel either.
Totally. But I also think that being able to kind of do what you do as a job, and you get paid for it, and you get paid well, but then you also get to serve a greater sense of purpose than yourself.
That's the important part.
Seemingly is a very rewarding thing, and it's easy to get hung up in the fucking bullshit of, like, your own, how you feel about a song. Is this good enough? Am I good enough? And that, you know, and that's, I think, important to address, because we all go through that collectively. Myself, you, Wes, Luva, Chloe, all artists, Sammy, everybody I know.
Every human being has go as far as saying. Every human being on this planet. And I think it comes to me in my ways. And then it's important that I reflect back and that I'm self-aware. It's like, whoa, I'm not a very self-assured person. And I need to work on those parts. And I do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, but I also think part of that, too, is your filtration process of being able to say, this is how I handle that. And then you write songs.
Yeah. So the Unity EP, you know, that's going to be my first release on Susquehanna. It might be a good way to kind of wrap this.
Yeah. And I think that that's the last thing that I kind of wanted to touch on was, so with that, you know, we have this EP that's going to come out on Susquehanna. It's titled Unity.
And it's finally done. And it's being mastered right now. I'm excited about it.
But, you know, with that too, like, you have almost scrapped those projects.
Yeah, a few times. Two times.
Yeah, a handful.
You're just feeling discouraged and it's not good enough, or it's not what I set out to do. And it's just really, I overthink stuff a lot, you know. And it's good to have a community like you and other people around me that brings me in. But the songs, you know, I am excited about a couple, you know. I have some great vocalists on there. There's a reggae dubby song finally for my fans who like that.
Yeah. It's also a very fitting song for where we're at in the world.
The Smoke and Hope one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, like, for all you, everybody that, I would love for Martin to write every single song with vocals, and that's just not realistic, because I look at data, and data says that arguably is, so you see a spike on,
but so, same, like, I'd say
music. But the thing that's interesting about that specifically is that
just hard vocals are the most finding the most challenging thing to source, record. It's got lyrics. You're dealing with another person.
Well, it's also like need to resonate context. With the song. Yeah.
Context, exactly. It's like, there's so many things that need to go right. And I think we have realized that more now, that we need to scout and search for lyrics and start on that process. So there are more songs now coming out with vocals proper vocals on my song, and I'm very happy about that actually. Yeah. But one reason is because it's like I don't have those connections. I don't know the right people. I mean, sourcing vocals has been very, very difficult.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and, you know, we have...
And it's also the hardest thing to record, I'd say. Like, you need to really think about what you're doing, what mic you're using, to which person, how... You know, not to say... It's a skill to be able to sing. I know that because I'm trying to learn myself. And I actually do sing on a lot of my... I'm singing on one song off on the Unity EP myself. And, oh, my God, is that humbling. I cringe myself out so hard sometimes. And listening to something, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm going to... And with my Swedish accent and all the shit I got going for me. But you can get better. And I'm working on it every day. And that's a skill. So not just the microphone, but also the person producing noise into the microphone. There's so many things that need to be right.
Yeah. And the record is great.
Thank you. I need to hear that. I hope all you guys will like it.
Yeah.
It's been a strange project.
Just keep that in mind. You can bag on all of the songs, just don't bag on the one that Martin's singing.
Oh, honestly, you can. Other people's opinions about my art is all good and well. And I do read a lot of it too. And I learn a lot from that. And most of the people who communicate with me are very nice and encouraging.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have something to say, which might not be like all roses and that, I do it in a mature way. So I don't really have a problem. It's my own feelings about my art.
Yeah.
I need to feel that I'm progressing. I need to feel that I get better. And I feel like it's a huge responsibility. Even more so now, I have more fans and more people listening. I mean, and it's worth saying, if you as a smaller artist or whatever you're doing, or you're starting out and you think it's hard already and tough with getting it going and tough with people's comments, well, it's not going to get easier.
Yeah.
You just got to toughen up, you know?
Yeah. And if you really want to do this, you will make it so.
You can't control, like, people are going to have five perceptions. They're going to love you, like you, be neutral, dislike you, or hate you. And that's true for all people. And if that, you're just looking for approval, got to change the narrative there. Because it's never going to end well. Not even Jesus was loved by everyone. If he even existed, who knows? But that's a saying, you know, like, that's not a realistic goal to settle for.
Yeah. So, EP on Sisquan this year.
Yep.
Followed by...
another EP that we think we should talk about in another episode, because that's a bigger thing.
Yep.
And but then, that's what I'm working on right now. And then the compilation.
Compilation. That will be dropping at some point as well this year. 20-ish songs.
Mm-hmm.
But you know one of them coming is Sunspot by the man over here to my left.
Yeah.
And my right, your left. And
but I'm very excited about that compilation because it's so diverse and you guys did a great job. I'd say, again, reiterating, probably better job than myself in finding new ways to express yourself within, you know, the Sisquan universe. I think it's great that we did a mix because it's like a perfect thing to put on at the end of a night while you're winding down or doing dishes or driving somewhere and you need to arrive in a chiller mood, you know? It's very useful music. I listen to that music mostly. I never really listen to dubstep or drum and bass stuff at home. Like, it just, I'm stressed enough as I am. Like, I try to always keep it kind of shanty, you know? And meditation is interesting too. I do a lot of that. I try to do it every day.
I just go to the beach.
That is a form of meditation, because really meditation is about bypassing your first attention, the pea brain that makes all these, that's where all the daily grind is, and step into second attention. So you fool the brain by focusing on something very mundane and sort of simple, like your breathing or your body parts or the noises at the beach, and that allows you as a human to step into deeper form of thinking, which is called the second attention, where greater ideas live.
Yeah.
And that's been known for thousands of years. and pretty much everyone coming up with some great invention or whatever says the same thing. They don't know how it came. It just, they were in a great space,
yep,
and the idea came. I find that fascinating. I don't know what an idea really is. Are they ours? Where do they come from? I think it's, making music is very humbling, because I can almost guarantee you say that it does not all come from this little guy here.
Yeah.
Something bigger at stake here.
It's interesting, man.
For sure.
It's wild. Yeah. A couple things to touch on. The festival, we're still selling tickets. There will be a down-tempo programmed day if you like that. Definitely come. It's going to be awesome. And then the pre-party, where you're doing a back-to-back.
With Ellis Dream.
With Ellis Dream. First time that's ever happened.
He's coming here next week. We're going to be working on it. Doing a back-to-back of that caliber is actually more work almost than I put into my own sets. Like, you think, oh, it's just like half the work then he will do. No, that's not how we roll. Yeah. He's going to be staying here a week, and we're going to get in hard on making it very special. Like, I'm already writing like all these new edits and trying to even like take old cool songs and weave them in some cool new way. I do that all the time, but we just a little different concept this time.
First time it's ever happened. The pre-party is almost sold out.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to come, it allows you to get onto the mountain, set up camp 24 hours early.
It's way nicer to get there earlier and set up camp, just from my own experiences.
Yep. So
that's a big one, even if you don't like the music. To come early.
Yeah, so another episode of Wakan TV in the books.
Yeah. Or was Sasquan TV today?
Sasquan TV.
Thanks so much for tuning in, guys.
Change the art.
See you next time.
Later.